Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribe, and follow the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. Want to thank everyone who came out last night to Jersey's at Glenside for our Go Yards watch party. Today, go get a free beer. Download the Yards Brewing Company app, and you get a free beer off the Kyle Schwarber Grand Slam last night. Really fun time last night. Great place, great people. If you've never been out to Jersey's, I suggest going out, especially during Eagles games on Sunday. They were telling me there it's a great place to watch Eagles games. So great night last night. And speaking of Eagles games, we got one tonight. The Eagles and the Patriots, the second game of the preseason tonight up in New England. Eagles last week, of course, against the Ravens in their first game, second one tonight, and then just one more. And then away we go to the start of the regular season 3 weeks from now. Actually, 3 weeks from tonight, the Ravens and the Chiefs kick it off. 3 weeks from tomorrow, of course, the Eagles and the Packers in Brazil. So I got six things I'm looking for tonight that I'll be honing in on when I watch the Eagles and the Patriots. And obviously, results, you know, that doesn't matter. The Patriots are a pretty bad football team, and we know the Eagles are up there for a joint practice a couple days ago and really took it to the Patriots. But tonight I'm looking on the Eagles side for these position battles and these really kind of interesting things about the team that I'm not quite sure about yet. All right, number one, the linebacker group. I think it's become a more fascinating and nuanced and interesting discussion about the linebackers and how it's going to look, how it's going to play out, who's going to play, what rotations will look like, and really who's going to get a chance to make an impact. So when the mini camp started in May and then into early in training camp, it seemed pretty obvious to me that Devin White and Zach Bond were the starters. I still believe that. But that doesn't mean those guys play every down. Doesn't mean they're no question about it. They're out there. There also could be a rotation. There are certain guys that maybe are better at certain things than those guys, and maybe they'll find their way into the field in sub packages. And as camp has gone along, every report has said N'Kobe Dean has had a good camp. Maybe a little up and down in the beginning, but a good camp and getting better as time has gone on. And then, of course, there's Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who made plays last week in the preseason game, made plays in the joint practice a couple days ago against New England, and despite being, you know, a guy that you wouldn't peg as a day one starter based on where he was drafted, he certainly has pedigree. He certainly had a heck of a college career, as did N'Kobe Dean. You know, we're talking about two guys right now. The Eagles have a lot of name brand value. Move Zach Bond off this for a second because I don't think he applies to this. But they have a lot of name brand value to their linebacking room. You know, Devin White is a name brand linebacker. The guy was a top 10 pick and won a Super Bowl as a rookie. Now he's declined, and there's a reason why the Eagles got him on a one-year deal, and there's questions about where his career is going, but he's a name brand linebacker. Devin White is a name brand linebacker. N'Kobe Dean was part of one of the best college defenses we've seen in decades and was a leader on that team. You go back to watch some of those highlights and how he was in his teammates' faces. He was the guy they all looked to get them lined up for Georgia. Now, he played with a lot of great players around him, and that probably made him look better, but the bottom line is he was a big-time player on a big-time program that won a championship. And then, of course, there's Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at Clemson, and not just name brand because of who his dad was here, but because of what he accomplished at a big time program. So you have all these name brand players. I'm now open to the thought that maybe and perhaps there's a path for N'Kobe Dean and or Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to impact the defense this year. I'll be watching those guys close tonight. Second thing I'm looking for tonight, Eagles Patriots, is the cornerback situation and how they rotate him in, who plays, how much they play, and really the battle between Kelee Ringo and Isaiah Rodgers as outside guys, because you would think right now only one of those guys is going to start. How much they put Quinyon Mitchell outside tonight, I think tonight could be a tell for the next few weeks and how this thing might go. So let's just play this out. Quinyon Mitchell, based on the camp he's had, we talked to him on the midday show last week, based on what we saw last week against the Ravens, I think there's a real chance and a good chance that Quinyon Mitchell is starting at nickel in week one against the Packers in Brazil. But let's open our eyes to this idea. Cooper DeJean has been activated. He is healthy. In minicamp, he was the nickel. He was the guy. I think if you had to guess, if you had to bet on it, who would be the starting nickel in week one, and this was in, the conversation was happening in May, I think you would say, oh, that's going to be Cooper DeJean, and Quinyon will fight for that outside job, you know, with Isaiah Rodgers and with Kelee Ringo. Well, things have changed because Cooper DeJean has been out, but now Cooper DeJean is healthy. Now, can he get up to speed and show enough in the next 3 weeks to be in the mix to play in Brazil and like get on the field in meaningful snaps? I don't know. But tonight, I'll be watching. If we see more Quinyon Mitchell on the outside, well, that tells me either that he's got nickel wrapped up and he doesn't need any more reps there, but that's hard to imagine because he's young, start trying to learn the nickel. I would think he needs more reps. Or it tells me they want to see him outside to see if Cooper takes a big jump the next few weeks. Is Quinyon able to just enter that fray on the outside and that battle with Isaiah Rodgers and Kelee Ringo? So where Quinyon Mitchell plays, how the corners are lined up, who plays when, how much they play, I will be focused on that in a big way tonight. Third thing I'm looking for tonight is the running back situation, and really, can Will Shipley build on what he did last week? I think that, and I'm a Will Shipley guy, I mean, you heard me say this a couple times now on the podcast, and I've said it on the midday show, that Will Shipley has burst. I could see it. You could feel it. There's something there. He's got something to him when he has the ball in his hand. That's NFL running back to me. I like Will Shipley. I think maybe me and others who are like me that like Will Shipley probably putting the cart before the horse a little bit. Part of being on the field as a running back is you got to be good in pass pro. You got to be a good blitz picker-upper. I mean, you can't let your quarterback get killed when you're back there. It's funny, I was just ironically watching a highlight yesterday on YouTube of Hugh Douglas' sack of Sean King in the 2000 wildcard game against the Bucks at the Vet when, you know, Hugh came off the right side and it was Warwick Dunn there that had to be in pass protection. It was obviously a mismatch. I mean, Warwick Dunn was so small comparatively. And Hugh just, you know, tossed him aside and went and sacked Sean King, and the fumble happened, and it set the Eagles up for their first touchdown with Donovan running it in. But, you know, if you can't block as a running back, you can't be on the field on third down. You can't be on the field on pass plays. And I think Will Shipley has burst and he could play. But as of today, as of this morning, I still have the depth chart very clearly as Saquon Barkley, Kenny Gainwell, then Will Shipley. And Shipley could get run because of injury. I mean, look, Saquon's had a lot of injuries in his NFL career. And if you think he's going to play 17 full games at 20 touches per game, I think you're probably being too pie in the sky optimistic. That's 340 touches. I doubt that's going to happen for Saquon Barkley this year. He's probably going to miss time or probably going to be limited in his touches a little bit. So it will open up the door for Will Shipley to have some sort of role as a rookie. Is it day one in Brazil against a defensive coordinator that we don't know much about that came from college football at BC, you know, with the Packers and all their young talent on defense? Is that the moment that Will Shipley gets a lot of playing time as the two? I doubt it. So I think as of today, it's Gainwell at the two, Shipley at the three. Of course, Gainwell's in his contract year, so Shipley's got a nice runway to ascend this year before next year becoming the number two back. But he's got to be good in pass pro, and I'm excited to see how he does in that tonight. And if he does more with the ball in his hands, for everyone to be like, hey, you got to get him the football. You got to get him the football. I'm watching running back close tonight. So linebacker, corner, running back. The fourth thing I'm watching tonight, and this caught my attention a little bit yesterday, and I had asked Elliot about this about a week ago. So we know Jalen Hurts has gone the entire camp without throwing an interception, and it's become a national story now. And last week when Elliot was on, around the time he broke the record on the midday show, I did ask him, you know, it's impressive no matter how you frame it, right? It's a good thing no matter how you frame it. But I did wonder, how has he gotten this done? Is this a matter of there have been three drops and interceptions that if they had been caught, hey, this is not even a story? Is it been he has been very, very conservative and careful with the football, a lot of checkdowns to where these are high percentage, you know, high completion rate, low turnover risk plays, and that's how he's accomplished this? I just wanted some context to what he's done, because in theory, it's great, but like, what does that mean? Are you not taking any chances? You're not going down the field? Are you not trying to put a ball in between two defenders that you might on a third and nine, you know, in the fourth quarter of a game, you're down seven, you got to have that first down, and you see Devontae and he's coming free, you know, behind the linebacker, in between the, you know, in front of the safety, and you got a really small, tight window that you got to drop it in. Is he doing that in camp and still been perfect doing it, or is he avoiding those throws? And that's really primarily why it's been turnover free. I wanted the context. And then yesterday, Emmanuel Acho on FS1 and Greg Jennings, who was on the panel with him on, I think Speak for Yourself is the name of the show, the afternoon show there on FS1. I know that network's doing some changes, but whatever. That show, you know, you probably know Joy Taylor and that crew. They discussed it, and they actually framed it as maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe he's not taking enough chances. And look, most of us aren't there every day. I've been to a handful of practices. Elliott's been to every one. He said it's been more of a combination, I'm paraphrasing Elliott, where he's been a lot. There is underneath stuff, but there's also him taking some shots. But, and I bring this up because I want to see for the second game tonight, and I don't, as I sit here, you know, whatever, 12 hours for the game, I don't expect Jalen Hurst to play tonight. It's just, that's my guess. But I want to see the flow of the offense and how it looks, because I'm starting to wonder, based on reports, based on the Hurts interceptionless streak, based on last week, where's the vertical element to this offense? Are they just waiting for the start of the regular season? Because I haven't seen much of it. When I've been out there, what we've heard, what I've read, it's been very underneath. Even last week, I was impressed. You know, I saw a stat from Warren Sharp last week about attempts and yards and Kenny Pickett, and like it wasn't overly impressed. But I watched the game, and I'm like, well, then every route was like 7 air yards. He just rolled out and threw it. It was all short, intermediate stuff. Where is that in this Kellen Moore offense? Because when you have A.J. Brown, you have Devontae Smith, you want to push the ball down the field. I'll be looking tonight to see if there's a vertical element to this offense, regardless of who the quarterback is. Fifth thing I'm looking for tonight is the pass rush. The Eagles' pass rush, I thought, I'll put it this way, is a big question mark for me entering the season. Bryce Huff's a question mark. Donald Smith's a question mark. Josh Sweat's a question mark. They're all question marks on the edge for this team right now. Brandon Graham going into year 15 is a question mark. So I have question marks about the pass rush. Reportedly a great day the other day, and they pushed around the Patriots offensive line. That could say a lot more about the Patriots and how abysmal they might be on the offensive side of the football than the Eagles. But I have question marks, and I'd like to see them get after the quarterback early in the game tonight. That is, it's non-negotiable when you have young corners and a new defense and maybe moving parts in the middle of the defense with safety and linebackers throughout the season. You got to get pressure. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. And I could see week one, the game plan for the Packers is to get the ball out quickly and make these guys tackle in space, make these guys cover these linebackers, these safeties test the young corners. So they got to get very quick and instant pressure off the edge to get in Jordan Love's face. And if they don't, it could be a long night in Brazil. I'm watching the pass rush tonight. And the last thing I'm watching tonight, sixth thing tonight, I'll be watching the Eagles and Patriots game, is how long into the game are they keeping guys like James Bradbury, Avante Maddox, veterans on the field? I feel like, again, as Cooper DeJean comes back and the Eagles' depth in the secondary, you know, gets better. They claimed the guy off of from Denver that with the safety last week, you know, a younger player. The Eagles have an influx, and it's been a 2 or 3 year push for this, because I think, you know, Howie Roseman sees the writing on the wall, and he's usually really good at that, at not, you know, at kind of fixing problems before they become huge problems. And that's, I think, the process is probably a year too late. Last year, the secondary became a problem faster than maybe Roseman anticipated, or just it became that transition year they couldn't prepare themselves for. Well, they're better prepared now, and they've got a lot of young secondary guys. And I think with that, the better they look, the more chance the team's going to roll with them and move on for veterans. I've talked, you know, we had an episode the other day on the podcast, missed it, about a surprise trade I could see, and it wouldn't shock me if they trade Darius Slay to make, you know, a starting spot for another young corner. But a smaller version of that could be James Bradbury not being here, even though he's had a good camp. Is he playing into the fourth quarter tonight in the second preseason game? That's not a good look for his future here. And Avante Maddox. You know, I'm not going to be shocked if Avante Maddox doesn't make this football team. You know, he doesn't have much guaranteed money on the deal. It's not like they just brought him back after cutting him, and, you know, he was out there at free agency for a month. It's not like, you know, teams were falling over themselves to sign Avante Maddox. So if Maddox is out there for an extended period tonight, what does that mean for him and for his future as an Eagle? So I have my eye on that. The veterans, how long they're playing. Six things I'm watching for tonight. Linebackers. Do Nakobe and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. flash again? The corner situation, is Quinyon inside or more outside? Does that open the door for Cooper DeJean to make a push for this thing late? Running back, Will Shipley in particular, pass protection, is he ready to push Kenny Gainwell for meaningful number two snaps? How the offense looks, do they have a vertical element? Didn't see it against the Ravens, haven't seen it much in camp. Maybe it's part of why Jalen Hurts not throwing an interception. I'll be locked into that tonight. The pass rush, can they get off the edge to the quarterback? And how long into the game are guys like Bradbury and Maddox actually playing? Because I think that's a tell for their future here in Philadelphia. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. Thank you so much for being part of the show, subscribing, and listening. We'll talk soon. Go Eagles.